Ephesians chapter 2, when you find it, would you stand with me, please? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. We can wait. I know it takes Dale a little while to get out of his seat, but that's okay. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 4. You've probably all read this before. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Starts out and it says, "But God..." Aren't you glad God is involved in our life? Amen. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. And Lord, I pray that as we come before you today, Father, that you would open up our minds and our spirits, Lord God, that we might understand, we might receive a spirit of revelation and knowledge today, that our eyes would be open to understand and be enlightened according to the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, we want to give you praise. We want to give you thanks for the insight that you are going to reveal to each and every one of us today. And Lord, we thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I have been studying faith this last month, as we all have, I've been meditating on this phrase, grace through faith. Grace through faith. Now, when we think about that and we hear that phrase, we usually connect it with salvation because it says we're saved by grace through faith. So that's kind of how we connect it all the time. It's we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace. Grace, salvation has been offered to every one of us. Salvation has been offered to everyone on the planet. But until we receive it by faith, it just sits there. We'll never partake of salvation until we receive it by faith. Now, as I begin to meditate on that and think about that, and God just kind of, I felt like he told me this. He says, that's the way I do everything. Everything that God gives us is by grace. There's nothing, not one thing that God has ever given you that wasn't by grace, through faith. We receive it by grace. It's ours. It's available to us. But we have to take hold of it by faith. Our salvation. Grace through faith. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Grace through faith. Deliverance. Grace through faith. Restoration. Grace through faith. Healing, grace, through faith. Everything God gives us is by grace through faith. If we don't add that last part, through faith, it just sits there. It's available, But it's like going to Christmas morning and never opening all your presents. Oh, yeah, that's my present. That's... Well, why don't you open it? That's faith. That's what we have to do. We have to engage with the grace that's been given to us. We all know the scripture. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, let's finish that verse. And it says, it's impossible to please God, but we must, I'm trying to find it here on my notes. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a, what does that word, next word say?
Rewarder.
A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, there's a lot of people in church today that don't want anything from God. Oh, I don't deserve that. No, don't worry. Now, if you were in the marketplace working, right, and you were doing your job, and they came, the boss came and discovered that you were doing your job and you were doing it well, and the boss wanted to give you a bonus, how many of you would argue with him? Come on, be honest, raise your hand. You would argue with God, oh, Mr. Boss Man, I don't deserve that. You just keep that. Are you kidding? Every one of you would snatch that up so quick. But when it comes to God, I don't deserve that. You talk to people about salvation. Well, I didn't ask him to die for me. Well, he did it for you because he loves you. Well, I didn't ask him to. That's why it's a gift. We don't ask for that. It's something he loves us so much that he gives it to us. It's by grace. Now, by faith, I receive it. See, there's that disconnect sometimes when we move from salvation to other areas in our Christian walk. That's why we get to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I prayed for that, but it just doesn't work for me. I must be one of those that just doesn't get it. By faith in what he's done. He's already given it to you. He's given us the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said that there comes one after me who's mightier and greater than I am, and he will. It wasn't just a maybe. He might give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Spirit. Not a question. It's a grace-given gift. The question is, will we receive it by faith? And see, there's a lot of people in the church today. Oh, no, I don't need that. I just pray with my... I'm smart enough to pray on my own. That's what they're saying. Well, I know how to pray. Not like God does. Not like God does. And when we pray in tongues, that's the Spirit of God praying through us. So when we pray in tongues, we know we are praying the perfect will of God. That's grace through faith. Healing's the same way. Oh, I know God wants me healed. Oh, yeah, I know that. And you know what? Someday maybe I'll get it. You know, maybe when I get to heaven. I've told you this before. I've done a lot of funerals. And every one of them, the body goes in the ground. It doesn't go to heaven. Think about it. The body is not going to be healed unless you take it by faith now, on this side of the grave. Once you get to the other side of the grave, That body's dead and in the ground. That body is going to be raised and changed to a new body, but it's not going to be healed. Because when it's raised up, it's already healed. It's a new body. It's a whole new thing. Jesus didn't have to get healed when he went into the grave. He was raised anew. So, the healing is for this side of the grave. By grace, you've been saved. By grace, you've been healed. Through faith. You've got to get the faith in there. We've been studying this last couple weeks. We've got one more week. Hopefully you don't quit at the end of the week. But we've got another week to work on that faith, of stirring that faith up inside of us so that we understand what God has done. He wants to reward those who diligently seek Him. He wants to reward those who diligently seek Him. It's not just, okay, well, yeah, I guess if He wants to, you know, and you just sit there and do nothing. You have to seek Him. Does that work? You get that? You have to diligently seek Him. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. What was that all? What's going on there? That's Adam's sin. Judgment came to all of us, right? Okay, resulting in condemnation. Anybody ever been condemned? You just got to thank Adam for that, don't you? Because that's where it came from. Through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. Not just some. It's available to everyone. Resulting in justification of life. Resulting to as just as if I'd never sinned. When you look at yourself in the mirror, can you look at yourself and say, I'm just as if I'd never sinned? Or do you look at yourself and start counting up all the sins? Yeah, see, God wants us to receive the gift, free gift, by faith. Salvation by grace, through faith. That's how it works. This is kind of just the way God works. This is His normal practice. The way He normally does things is by faith. He gives it to us freely. Everything that He's given us in the Word of God. All the promises of God are yes and what? What does amen mean? What? So be it. So when I say so be it, I'm coming into agreement with what God said, right? So all the promises of God are yes, and the promise is waiting for my amen. He's waiting for me to come into agreement with that and say, that's mine. See, there's a lot of people that don't get that because I talk to people and there's a lot of people in the church today that aren't sure they're going to go to heaven. They're still hoping. They're wishing. Well, I sure hope I've done enough. By grace, you've been saved through faith, not of works. You can do all you want to do, but it's not going to happen. It's through faith, not works, lest any man should boast. And so God wants us to receive what He has by faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe in your heart. That's mine. I believe what God said. It's been given by grace. I believe it. Salvation is mine. I believe it. So I need to confess with my mouth what Jesus has done. I need to come into agreement. Amen. It is done. That's my agreement. That's my confession. Jesus is Lord. Confess with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. I need to come into agreement with that. You know, but he's done it for everybody, but not everybody has come into agreement. And so they're still hoping they're saved. They might go to church every time the doors open, but they still have no confidence in their heart that they are saved in Christ. Because they're still over here afraid to confess something that they can't see. What they're doing is they are judging their salvation by what they have done. Because the enemy, the devil, the accuser, none of us, when we got saved, immediately acted like a Christian. In fact, what does that look like? We can start making up all kinds of rules. We can make up all kinds of, I'm pretty good at that. I can make up lots of rules. Well, you need to do this, and you need to do this. If you're going to be a good Christian, you need to do this. And don't do this, and for sure never do that. You see, we could make rules up, but he didn't say that. He said, the gift has been given to us by grace. Now I need to receive it by faith. So in receiving it by faith, that's, people like things to do. They like to do things. They like to be told what to do. You see, and I think people are, they like to be told what to do because they don't want to get alone with God and find out what God really wants them to do. Well, what's God telling you? I don't know. Well, have you asked him? Well, I've been reading my Bible. Have you sat down and talked to your friend, Jesus? Jesus, what do you want me to do? How do I do this? How do I do this? See, there's a scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. How many are still working for their salvation? Then you're coming short because it's in your work. So he's saying, says there remains a promise of entering into his rest. And when I enter into his rest, then I end my works. All my works quit. All my obligations to do this, this, and this, and this, and not do this, all that ends because Jesus fulfilled the promise. He fulfilled, he paid the penalty for my sin. He paid, and it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says that he remembers my sin no more. So even my future sins, he comes to me and does not even remember what I did. And that's pretty hard for Christians to forget. How many have come to church guilty of doing something, saying something, thinking something, and you felt guilty all through church? Didn't even want to take communion because of the guilt. Well, there's a scripture that says he took my guilt to the cross. He took my shame to the cross. Now, I'm not saying go out and start doing anything you want to do. Because as believers, if we're going to believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth, we're not going to act the same way. We're not going to do the same things we used to do. But he said there remains a promise for rest, which means that there's a promise that I don't have to work and work and work and work to be good enough. Because it says in verse 2, he says, for indeed the gospel was preached, the good news was preached to them, or preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They heard the promise. They heard the promise of salvation. They heard the promise of rest. They heard the promise of healing. They heard the promise of deliverance. They heard the promise of all that God wants to do in their life. And yet they never mixed it with faith and just said, God, I'm just going to take that. That's mine. I am not going to be bound by this any longer. I am not going to be bound by this habit, by this addiction. I am not going to be bound by that any longer because you took it to the cross. And I'm free. Romans chapter 6. We're free. We're free. We're free. We need to start not looking at ourselves based on what we have done, but on what he has done. What he has done. Talked about this a couple weeks ago during communion. 1 Corinthians 11 says, when you partake of communion, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Who are you? Are you going to name off all your failures? Inadequacies? Or are you going to start naming off what Jesus has done for you? I am saved by grace. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed. I am free from the bondage of sin, the power of sin. Sin and darkness no longer have any control over me. He is not holding his sin against me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I walk in the robe of righteousness. This is who I am. Examine yourself, not based on your failures, because if we did, no one would take communion on Sunday. But when we examine ourselves on what he's done in us, I can come freely before God into the very throne room, just like Dale read today. I can come boldly into the throne room and just have confidence in what he's done in me. I can have confidence in that. It has nothing to do with my works. Nothing to do with my actions. Because it goes on. I love the end of this verse. He says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Although, listen to this, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He's already finished all of this stuff in you. From the foundation of the world. This is who I want you to be. This is who I want you to be. And I've already finished it. That's the promise of God. They're already done. So you need to come in agreement and line up with the Word of God. And so to do that, we need to open our mouth and begin to declare what he's done in us. Declare it. Speak with your mouth the words, the promises of God that I am saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you have not memorized that verse already, you should. You should memorize that verse. That I am saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am born again. I am a child of the living God. You know, A lot of times when we study the Word of God, this is kind of a little side note. We were in a Zoom meeting this week, Lisa and I, and we were talking, they were talking to us about preparation for retirement and how things begin to change in retirement. How many have retired in here? Just about everyone. Things change, right? Oh, no? Okay. For most people, they change. And one of the things that they were talking about as a pastor, when things change, you have to change the way you listen to people. Well, maybe you do, but I don't. But you have to change the way you listen to people. And a lot of times, as a pastor, people want to bring their, and this is okay, but they want to bring their troubles and they want to have some kind of an answer or a prayer to meet that need. And so when you're listening to not control that situation, but to help them with the information about that situation. Whether it's marriage issues, maybe it's a death in the family, a loss of a job, financial issues. So when you're actively, and for lack of a better way to say it, employed as a pastor, that's how you kind of listen. But when you retire, you don't need to do that anymore. But you listen for clarity. You listen for clarity on the subject. You don't listen to control the situation or manipulate how things are going to work in that. You listen for clarity. And what I want to tell you today is a lot of times people will read the scripture to control it. There's probably not one person in here that has not searched the Bible to prove their point. You're trying to control what God is saying to you. Nobody wants to say amen to that? Not me. I didn't do that. I've never done that. Oh, yeah. When we read the scriptures, we search the scriptures to prove our point. But see, that's not the way God wants us to read the scriptures. He wants us to read the scriptures for clarity. Because if there's something that I don't understand, and maybe that pastor said something that I don't agree with, and all he was doing was reading the Bible, then I need to pray that God reveal to me clarity concerning that situation. Clarity concerning that scripture. Maybe it's a scripture on healing. Maybe it's a scripture on deliverance. Maybe it's a scripture on breaking habits. Or maybe it's a scripture on who knows what it is. It could be anything. But if we've already said it in our mind, well, no, that can't be right. So I need to find out. He's got to be wrong. So we diligently search the scriptures to prove our point. Not for clarity. But Hebrews 6:11-6 says that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Not diligently seeking to prove your point. Does that make sense? So when we get into the Word, search for clarity. Because there may be some things that we don't understand, surprise, surprise, that we don't understand in the Scripture. God, show me clarity here. There's a process as we grow in this. You said the work is finished. You said it's done. You said it's there. Okay, where am I between? Jesus gave the parable over in Mark chapter 4, verses 28 and 29, and he talks about the seed growing. And he says, first the blade. You put the seed in the ground, then you get the blade, then you get the head, then you get the full grain in the head, and then you get the full grain in the head ripened. Well, see, we all know in the natural, there's a process between planting the seed and harvesting the seed. So when it comes to the Word of God, when we plant the seed, there's a process. And sometimes we want to skip that process. We want to skip that because I know what it should be. And we skip the growth. The growth of all of the things God wants to do. The head, the full grain in the head. How many know how important the stalk is to wheat? That's pretty important. But if we didn't let that stalk grow, oh, look, there's a blade. Let's go get it. You're going to end up empty and go, what happened? There's sometimes a pause between the amen of the prayer, the confession, and the harvest. And so I want to encourage you, don't give up in the process. It's never wasted time in the process. We might think it is, and we might think, God, you need to do something now, not tomorrow, now. Well, he might be trying to do something in you if you would just relax and say, God, work in me. Give me clarity to what you're doing right now. Give me clarity to what you're doing in my life. Don't just listen for information. Don't just keep looking for information in the Bible to win your argument. Look for clarity so God can speak to you. It's like people with salvation issues. I sure hope I've done enough. Well, you can't do enough. It's not based on what you've done. It's about what he's done. You just need clarity on what he's done. You need clarity on what he's done, not what you've done or what you will do. What he's done. God has good things in store for us when we get clarity. It's the end of the verse there in Ephesians chapter 2. He says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and he made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, listen to this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. He wants to show you off. Oh, you better not show me off. I'm nothing to look at. Then you don't know who you are in Christ. Then you don't know and understand. You need clarity on what God has done for you. You need clarity on what God has done in you. Because when we begin to understand what he's done in us, and he says, I want to show you off, I want to show the kindness. Let's say it like this. God puts you up here and he says, look what I did with this. Now, you can take that several ways. Look what God did with this mess. Or look at the finished product. You know, we all started out as a mess. I mean, think about the people in the Bible. How many of them started out perfect? But they ended up that way because of Jesus. You're no better than they are. Yeah, you started out a mess, so did I. But look what he's done. Look what the Lord has done. Healed my body. Saved my soul. He set me free. There's an old song we used to sing. He lifted me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's done. Now he's going to show that off. Coming up, it says, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. If you don't like who you see right now, you just don't know Jesus. You don't know what he's done for you. You don't know what God did in him. Because you are in him. You are in Christ. As a believer, you are in Christ Jesus. So all the benefits that Jesus received, he received them for us. He put them to our account. So we are in him. Everything God did in Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should. This is something you need to do. We need to do. We need to walk in those good works. We need to walk in the goodness of God. And it starts out walking in the goodness of God by declaring what he's done. We've read this scripture several times over the last couple weeks. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We need to acknowledge what he's done in us. Then it will become effective. We need to acknowledge our salvation in Jesus Christ, making him Lord. We believe in our heart, but have we confessed with our mouth? When we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, you will be saved. We need to acknowledge it. Everything God has done for us. Everything God has done for us. Everything he's done for us in Christ. What he did for us in Christ, we need to acknowledge that. He has set me free. He died for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I don't live it in my own ability. I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I need to acknowledge that. I need to acknowledge that because when I acknowledge that, the devil doesn't know what to do. Don't you know that when you acknowledge what God has done for you, you just irritate the devil? How many like to irritate the devil? You ever think about that? I'm just going to irritate him today and just start confessing the word. You see, the devil doesn't know what to do with that. Remember Jesus, when he was tempted, what did he do? He quoted the word of God. It's the same thing I'm telling you to do. Quote the word of God. This is what the word says about you, about me. Jesus quoted the word of God, and finally, after three times, Satan finally threw his hands up and said, can't do anything right now. I'll come back later. And so he did. He just left. It doesn't mean that he won't come back, because he did. Satan came back and tried to get Jesus. But you know what? When we begin to acknowledge every good thing that he's done in Christ for us, when you begin to acknowledge that, Satan just has to throw his hands up and walk away. Because it's the Word. And he knows he cannot argue with the Word. That's why when you get saved, you need to know that the enemy might come and say, oh, no, you didn't get saved. You just were talking into the air. Nothing happened. You're still thinking the same way you always thought. You still talk the way you used to talk. You still do the same things you used to do. You still have the same desire to go out and sin the way you used to. That's called maturity when you begin to develop that. And you get away from that. That changing, renewing the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We need to renew our mind. We change the way you think. The world, the devil, has taught us how to do everything he wants us to do for years. And so it's real easy to go out and sin. But we need to change our way of thinking. And say, nope, not today, Mr. Devil. I am saved by grace. I am the righteousness of God. I am who Jesus says I am, not who you say I am. And so this morning, I'm going to close with a confession. I'm going to say it first, and then I want you to repeat it, all right? Now, you guys might get into this because it got quiet this morning in the first service about what we're really actually claiming to be, but I want you to say it with boldness. By faith. Don't look at yourself and go, oh, I don't act that way. No, this is by faith. All right? Say this after me. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, I have been made alive in Christ Jesus. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, that I have been raised up and made alive. I am seated together with Christ in heavenly places. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that I am His workmanship. I am His masterpiece. I am created in Christ Jesus. I am not a mistake. I am not broken. I am always enough. I am not an afterthought. I am complete in Christ. And I am on display for the world to see what God can do. I receive it now by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. We can say that. I was doing this, and you can expand that. I just kind of zeroed in here on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, and 9 and 10, and Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. But you can take this and you can go beyond that. You can say, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, I am healed. By His stripes, I am healed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that I am clothed in the robe of righteousness. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth whatever that promise is that God has put on your heart. You're coming into agreement with that. You are saying the amen, so be it, let it be done, it's finished. That's what we need to come into agreement with. So I want to encourage you this week. We're finishing up this 21 days. Getting excited, getting the motors warmed up and ready to go. So I want you to just begin to confess this. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I don't know how the enemy's coming against you. But you know what? God has a promise for it. God has a promise for it. Find it and confess it. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Come into agreement and let God do the rest. And you, when you do that, you will, I've done it a couple times this week after I wrote this up. I started doing this, and when I started doing it, it's like this just, it just gets lighter. The whole atmosphere begins to change. The enemy trying to come in and to cloud your thinking, cloud your actions and your motives and all the things that he's trying to do, and all we got to do is start confessing the Word of God. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. You can say it quiet, you can say it loud. I don't really care. You just got to say it. You just have to acknowledge it. What he's done in Christ, he's done for you.